And Hershey's for Heroes Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. Wow, Bernardo, this country, can you imagine? This country is number one. This little strip of land is number one in the world in technology, agriculture, and medicine. And the vast amounts of humanitarian work it does around the world.
Hard to believe, but yes, it is.
Amazing. Do you know, as I trace Jewish history through the annals of time, that I can see the fingerprints of blessing from the Jewish people to all of humanity. Yeah. Wow. Wow. So, for 2 years, Insight to Israel has been on the air. And we are heard in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, in Australia, and right here in the Jewish state. Never could have dreamed, Bernardo, when I came here with just a cell phone in my pocket. And I'll tell you, brother, when I got off the plane in Ben-Gurion Airport with $600 in my pocket, I reflected back on the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah and the folks that came here when there was nothing. As they went down to the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, and they dredged out the swamps and created the kibbutz. When I think about the Haganah, the Palmach, Lehi, and Etzel, how they defended the Jews that have always lived here from the Muslims. Now, Arab is a cultural term, but when it comes down to it, for all of those around the world who need to have a clear understanding of what this country's up against on a daily basis when it comes to fighting for freedom. This is what those folks, those groups, in America, if you don't know what these groups are, Lehi, Etzel, Haganah, Palmach, they defended the Jews that lived here. God bless them. Those were the fighters. Those were the ones that laid the foundation of greatness for us that have it so easy now. So I want to thank, wow, that's great stuff.
Great start.
So I want to thank the guys at America's Web Radio for all that you do in bringing this truth to Americans. Folks, I want to say thank you to those, to the listeners who watch all of the social media, the videos, as I travel all around this great country, as I found myself on the front lines of war with the soldiers during Sukkotan, getting shot at the Kibbutz Sufah by Hamas. I got video of it on YouTube too, Bernardo. It was amazing.
Must have been
the soldiers were, the commander asked me, he said, Michael, we found Hamas coming out of the ground at like 4:30 in the morning. And I knew as soon as they put on their hard hats, something was up. And the commander leaned over the wall, and I already started recording, not giving away names or places or anything like that. He said, Michael, there's going to be a firefight. Do you want us to take you back? And I was like, hello.
You're staying.
So thank you to everyone who watches the social media, who shares with those around them about Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. I also want to take a minute and say thank you, thank you, thank you to those who are participators, not spectators,
right,
by sending Hershey's for Heroes to the soldiers here.
That's right. That's
with notes of love, prayer, and support. Ronaldo, last year in 2014, we handed out over 4,000 chocolate bars.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Well, I can. And I'm kind of hungry at the moment.
Brother, I'm sorry I don't have any with me. It probably would have melted in my backpack with my back sweating after running about, walking and running. I'll kill myself if I do it at this point. I'm a little out of shape.
Like 2 miles maybe?
About 3 miles, something like that.
2 or 3 miles.
So thank you to Americans who send Hershey's for Heroes. You will never, ever be able to comprehend, if you haven't gone to the Hershey's for Heroes Facebook page, how it changes the life of a soldier.
Makes them feel that somebody's thinking about them.
Yeah.
Somebody appreciates what they do. And as you know, appreciation and encouragement is such a strong force.
In combination.
Right.
You know what? Brother, there's I want to encourage you to go to, I don't know if you've seen the Facebook page, but for the listeners, there's a photo album called Participators, Not Spectators.
Okay.
Where I take a picture of the person who sent the chocolate bars, and a picture of their chocolate bars, you can see the note,
Right.
And then there's another photo album called Testimony from the Troops, where soldiers have sent me emails and WhatsApp, instant messages, and said, Michael, thank you for these words. It encouraged us to go on just a little farther in defending our country. So what happens is, Americans love this stuff. They see the hand, that their chocolate bar in the hand of that soldier. They go and find that soldier on Facebook, and now they connect with him on Facebook and through email, and now some of those folks are sending care packages to the soldiers.
Oh, amazing. That's very nice.
What does it cost to send a chocolate bar?
Well, probably not a lot.
Not a lot.
But it makes a big difference.
You know what the difference is, brother? All these big organizations, God bless them, they say, send us your money, and you never really see on a personal level where that money goes.
Right.
But you send chocolate bars.
You see them.
You see your investment.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Thank you, America. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And God bless you. I'm asking for Americans to step up to the plate. As we are now in 2015, my goal is 1,000 chocolate bars a month. I've got a bunch coming. And I'm asking that you get your friends, your family, your church, your synagogue, your civic group involved with Hershey's for Heroes. Go to Facebook, to the About section to see the instructions of how you can send Hershey's for Heroes. Thank you, America, for all that you do and standing with these soldiers as they daily defend, after 2,000 years of no homeland, the Jewish state.
Amen.
Yeehaw, brother. I'm excited. It's another beautiful day in the Jewish state. Bernardo.
Yes.
And we are here in the port of Tel Aviv with the fine, fine Mediterranean in behind us.
Right.
Wow.
Good weather.
Good weather, brother. And Bernardo, I want to say thank you for coming, brother.
My
for being
pleasure.
On the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
We were introduced to a very good friend of mine, I call a brother, Jay Schultz, who has actually broken the record and been on this show more than any time, anyone else. So let's start out. First of all, how'd you meet Jay?
I met him through another common friend. Met him through another one of those people who are participating and not spectators, Corey. A good friend of mine who I happened to train before he joined the army, and we later became friends, and he introduced me to Jay. You know, he said, this is a guy I have to meet.
Nice.
Then Jay said, you're a guy I have to meet, and they were all right.
Hey, brother, I love how it comes together, you know? Divine providence. And I believe in it. Let me ask you, you're originally from where?
I'm originally from Mexico City. Which, you know, as you all know, it's a big, big city. Lots of, like we say in Hebrew, balagan.
Balagan, yeah, and there's a lot of craziness that goes on there.
Right.
Now, that's the largest city in the world, or...?
It was at some point, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's been... I think the new largest city is Mumbai in India.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah.
Now, there's a lot of drugs there.
Oh, there's everything.
A lot of kidnappings.
There's everything you can imagine you have in Mexico City.
What was
good
it like?
Good things and bad things.
Good things and bad. I'm sure. We never want to forget that.
Right.
Look what came out of there, Bernardo. Let me ask you, what was it like growing up in Mexico City for you?
Well, it was...
And did you know you were Jewish?
Yeah. I grew up Jewish from birth. Actually, I would say that I was much more of a religious follower back then than I am here in Israel. Somehow, I used to go more to the synagogue and all the holidays and, fastings and everything I did.
The same thing
came in Israel. Suddenly, I started to forget about that a little bit. But with all the things that happen afterwards, there's other ways of being Zionistic somehow.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Growing up in Mexico is an interesting thing.
You know, let me encourage you, brother. Lights on, lights off for Shabbat. Keeper or no keeper. The thing that matters is you keep your heart right with God.
That's right. That's right.
So, now, are you an only child?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's very uncommon for me to meet a fellow that's an only child from a Jewish family.
Why? Why would you say that?
Usually they got five or six. We need lots of Jewish babies. Usually you got at least four or five kids or more, you know, which I think is beautiful. But so your home life growing up, you went to them. So I didn't know they had synagogues in Mexico City.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
I'm not surprised, but I never thought about it. And I guess a lot of folks wouldn't.
Yeah, a lot of people are surprised, but the Jewish community in Mexico City alone is close to the 50,000 Jews.
Wow.
Yeah, there's quite a lot.
Can you imagine if all those folks had just come home?
I could. I mean,
that's beautiful.
That would be nice, yeah.
That's beautiful. So, now, where are your parents originally from? If I can ask that.
Also from Mexico.
What about their parents?
Well, their parents too, but originally, you know, a few generations back, my parents came from Europe. My mother,
his
family came from Spain. My father's family is from Russia.
Ah, Mother Russia.
Somewhere around there.
You know what I call Putin? Poodler. Well, that's interesting. You know, the reason I asked that, and I asked that of just about everyone I come into contact with when I have a conversation, because the country's only 66 years old, and it's very rare that you'd meet like someone of a fourth, fifth, or sixth generation.
Right.
Usually most folks are like first to third generation Israeli.
Yep.
And when you look at the prophecies that were fulfilled in Isaiah, wow. And I'll tell you, brother, it is a nice, it's beautiful. I remember seeing the Ethiopian Jews that were rescued out of Ethiopia in the 1990s.
In Miftah Shlomo, it was called, yeah.
It was amazing. So, now, are your parents here now?
No, my entire family is in Mexico.
Yeah. So you're first generation here?
Yeah.
Not born, right. But made Aliyah.
That's right.
So, what do you think influenced you to come? How old were you when you first visited Israel?
I was 19 years old, and I came to program that's called Birthright.
Birthright. Where they bring high school kids normally?
Usually people who have not been in Israel, but they have the Jewish roots, or I don't know, it's changed a lot over the years. And they give them an opportunity to come and visit for a few days and have fun, really. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it seems to work very well because a lot of people stay afterwards or come back and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very successful thing.
So you came here, and how long were you here on Birthright?
Well, originally that was just 10 days, but I decided to stay longer. To stay in a kibbutz and learn, study Hebrew and work. So that was my plan originally, to stay here for a few months and then go back to Mexico.
And
you make plans and God laughs. Have you heard that one?
Yes, I have. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what happened? You came here and you planned to stay for 2 months, and then how'd that plan change? Why did it change? Why do you think it changed?
You know what? That's to many people, it's a very complicated answer, but it has a very easy answer, and the answer is that I just felt home. Just felt that I was home.
Now that is the answer I hear consistently.
That's right, and it's starting to sound like a cliche, but in a way, there's no other explanation, really. I mean, you could try to find lots of psychological things. You know, I'm sure that it is true in a way. A lot of people come and they see it like as a second chance in life. Other people, you know, are like in a sort of like following a movement, like it's happening a lot today. Families come, the entire family and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if you didn't feel home, you wouldn't stay here.
Right.
Because it's not necessarily easy to live here.
No, it's very, it's a beautiful place, great people, modern cities, but it's expensive.
First of all, it's expensive, and it's a culture shock for many people. It's a different culture, different way of thinking. And there's different difficulties here. You know, obviously, everywhere in the world is difficult, but there's other difficulties here. At the end of the day, what I felt was that I was home, that I had things to look forward to. And I still feel today, after 11 years, that I made the right decision. And, you know, I just always seem to have, like, something that I want to do, something that I want to succeed on. And as long as I have that, you know, I know that I'm home.
Nice, nice. You know what I compare that to, Bernardo?
Tell
me. You remember the prophet Samuel?
Right.
Before he was actually a prophet.
Okay.
He was with his Jay has a better name. I'll say rabbi.
Okay.
And he was sleeping. He was a little boy sleeping one night.
Yeah.
And God called to him.
Uh-huh.
And he thought it was his rabbi. And he went to his rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, did you call me?" And he said, "No." He said, "Go back to bed." Samuel laid down again and went to sleep. And he heard his name again. And he went to his rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, did you call me?" He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "But when you hear that calling again, rise up and say, 'Here am I, Lord, your servant.'" And he did that, and thus became the prophetical ordination of Samuel, the prophet.
Okay.
And I believe, Bernardo, that when you come here and you feel that draw, that pull, that is the voice of Hashem speaking to your heart, say, "Come home. It's time to come home."
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, it is amazing, 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 amazing to know that there are some folks that I've met that they say, "I don't know why I'm here, but this is where I belong." Wow. Wow. So, okay, so you come here, you decide to stay. What'd your mother say? Now, moms have a lot.
You're right, yeah. Mothers, fathers, everybody has a lot of things to, you know, it's obviously not easy to have your child or
an only child
away.
Mm-hmm. An only child.
But they supported my decision. Well, they saw that I was, you know, happy that I had like a
direction.
That's the most important thing, I think. You know, as a parent, I can only assume, but as a parent, you know, if you see a direction, then you can be more relaxed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's nothing like a plan, brother. Nothing like a plan, especially, you know, like you said, we make plans and God laughs. But there comes a time, a point in our life, when there are times that we can clearly see that path,
right,
that's been laid out for us. And good or bad, when you stay on that course, your life is blessed.
That's right.
It's amazing. Wow. Wow. So did you like say, "Okay, I'm ready to join the army. Yeehaw"?
No, but it did happen pretty fast. When I grew up, one of my connections to the Jewish community was youth organizations.
Okay.
Such as the Habonim Dror, Hashomer HaTzair, those are Jewish youth organizations that, you know, have different backgrounds and stuff, but the main point was that they always mentioned one thing that always stayed with me until today, and that is part of our history as Jewish people and what happened during the Holocaust, okay, in Europe. Now, with that in mind, when the opportunity, okay, to serve in the IDF presented itself, coming from Mexico and the military in Mexico, I assumed that the army would be something, you know, that's similar to like going to jail in a way, you know, like being like really, you know, you can't leave, you don't get really paid or anything, and there's a lot of people that you don't know, and you have to like make friends or fight your way to survive in a way. But I was willing to do it because of that responsibility I felt of making sure that such an event as the Holocaust never happened again.
Wow.
and to protect the, what is believed for. Well, I mean, when you look at it this way, Israel is a gift, okay, to the Jewish people.
Wow, wow.
And I feel that it's everybody's responsibility, you know, to contribute to making sure it doesn't happen again.
Wow.
So I had a lot of thought, and, you know, obviously I had to go against lots of instincts, you know, that say, well, you know, you weren't born here. I mean, you know, you're going to join a foreign army at that point, you know. Although I consider myself more Israeli now than Mexican, but I did it, and those were the reasons. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot for someone that age
to
think about.
That's right, yeah. But, you know, I guess at some point I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
You know what, brother? I'm going to tell you what. What was I doing at 19, 18, 20, picking my nose as an American? I was picking my nose, brother. What did I know? I had milk on my breath. You know, I got milk on my breath now with this iced coffee. But, I'll tell you what, man, in the United States, and I love my country, but we're so out of whack. And when I think about these young people, my heart breaks for them. In the United States, there's so much drugs. They're indoctrinated with leftist ideology from the professors. That ideology carries over into hating Israel. On many of the college campuses.
Right.
The Muslims are now starting Muslim student unions. You know, the students and the Muslims are hollering Allahu Akbar to the Jewish students.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, that is a very problematic situation. But I really don't know how that initiated, but it's really sad because I think the U.S. Is a country that has everything, you know, in line with to be a very close partner with Israel, and it struggled, you know, to protect Western values, you know,
right.
Which is basically what it's all about, at least in my point of view.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, let me put it to you bluntly, brother.
Mm-hmm.
In America, you need to listen up. We owe, you know, I hear folks here tell me, well, we need America. And I say, no, you don't. You need two things. You need each other, because that's all you got. And you need God.
Right.
Because if it had not been for Hashem giving the Jewish people Torah, I would not have a constitution or a Bill of Rights. The founding principles of my country come from the principles of Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Mosaic Law. And America, you need to listen up. This is why you need to support Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes, because we tell it straight. We're watered down, sugarcoat, limp-wristed, spineless. We don't play that.
That's right.
We burned the negotiating table in our heart a long time ago. You want to kill a Jew? It ain't going to be fun for the other side. It will not be fun, and we will not make it fun. Wow. You know what, bro? I'm going to tell you, I respect you. In America, we need to get it together. That if we go against the Jewish state, it is judgment from the Almighty directly. And we are crumbling now economically, we are crumbling culturally, and now it's come down to the grassroots, and that's what I love about it. Who needs the government, man? We got the grassroots. That's what started the United States anyway. The revolutionaries.
That's right.
The grassroots. 13% of the original colonists wanted the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
They were a small minority. And those men, those founding fathers who believed in God, and they knew the minute they pinned their name to that document, their life was in jeopardy.
Right.
And the minute those folks from all over the world, with the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth Aliyah escaping persecution, knowing that they were not only leaving the frying pan, but they were stepping into the fire, but they knew this was their land. That God gave, my mother used to tell us this, children, this is the Jewish people's land. God gave it to them, and we must always stand with them. And I will expound on that by saying, carved out by the feet of Abraham, conquered by the armies of Joshua, ruled and reigned by a king named David, and reestablished by prophecy in Isaiah.
Very nice.
Wow, I'll tell you what, brother. That's like a Chinese buffet of truth right there. Good stuff. So, can you picture that in your head, a little buffet? You know what I mean? Nom, 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 lots of truth. That's good stuff. So, now, how often do you get home to visit?
I try to go at least once a year, but at the beginning, it took me 3.5 years to go back and see my family.
Wow, was your mama crying?
Yeah, she, you know, obviously wasn't easy for her. But
it's all about
like
mama.
Everything in life, you get used to it.
Yeah. Now, is your family, have they been here to visit?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been here to visit. But not too often, let's say.
Yeah, it's a long way. It's expensive.
It's very expensive.
Now, do you, you're not married or have children?
No.
Now, when that happens, you're going to see Aliyah, I believe. That's usually what happens.
It could be, yeah.
And listen, when they send me down to clean out the Gaza, the Goyim, so they can't, nobody can blame the Jews, we'll make beachfront property for mom and dad.
I'm good down here in Tel Aviv, I think.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. It's beautiful. Now, what were you in the army? Where did you find yourself being? What regiment, if I could use that term?
Right. Well, I served in a regiment that's called Sayeret Nachal.
Nachal, man.
Right. The Nachal regiment has a special battalion of like reconnaissance, and every regiment, every battalion, like Golani, Givati, Tzanchanim, and Nachal, they have like their own special forces, and it's a unit that's similar to the U.S. Rangers, I think.
Can. Nice.
So that's where I ended up, and you know, it meant I went through very hard training for like a year and a half.
Wow.
And it left me with memories with the, you know, work cultures and the experiences that definitely I still carry with me sometimes. Yeah.
Did you happen to see any battle?
Yes, of course. I was in very different places. I was all over. I went to, Nablus. I was in Jenin. I was in
Jenin's a tough place.
Next to Lebanon. I went to Tulkarem. I went to many places.
What years did you serve? Because I'm thinking the Second Lebanon War was in 2006.
Yeah, that was in 2006. I served from 2004. I left the army in 2009.
So, wow. You did. So I did, far past your term.
Yeah, I did some time, and eventually I also went back to the army after a few years, and I served as a security officer. I was protecting different dignitaries and
nice.
People of sorts, but as a paid soldier.
Wow, nice. Mm-hmm. So what made you get out? Did you feel like you were...
Mainly, it became a question of, professional development.
Right.
The army is ill funded in a way for human resources.
Right.
Just last year, the IDF cut down like 4,000 professional military men from their ranks due to cuts in budget.
Okay.
And as such, many positions are quite frankly, very hard to get around and climb.
All right, we're going to be right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel and Hurst. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
That was, wow, that was a lot of good stuff. That was a lot of good stuff in the beginning.
Right.
In the first half. So here's Bernardo from Mexico. And you were how old when you came here?
19.
And you stayed?
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome, brother. Wow, what's that? A 19-year-old find himself in a new culture, a new language. Did you speak Hebrew at home?
No, I didn't speak a word.
So what was that? How was, like, was that exciting to you as a young man, or was it, like, scary, or what was that like?
I think it's a perfect age to come, 19, because then you're too stupid to realize how scary it could be, you know, how scary it could be. You don't think about it.
Well, hey, I'm 44. I'm 44 and came here at 42, and my brother's like, and a lot of people, like in D.C. and stuff, a lot of my friends are like, why don't you just go and see if you like it?
Well,
you know?
In a way, that's what you did, no?
Yeah, and I knew when I came here, I was like, I'm going to love it. I've read about this country my whole life,
yeah.
You know? And I just knew. I'm like, this is it. And there was a group of guys and I in Washington that none of us are Jewish except for one of them, but we were so pro-Israel, they called us the Jew-tile brothers, you know? And actually, one of them, he told me, he said, Gonneau, you inspired me. I can't do it like you did, just pack up and go. But he got a job with an oil and gas supply company.
Okay.
And he now lives in Cyprus.
Yeah.
And it's great because every time in D.C. that we went to, like, a pro-Israel event or something, we always dreamed of being here. And when he comes over from Cyprus to visit, we're kind of like two kids. We, like, pinch each other. Like, can you believe we're here, man? We are here in the Middle East, man. And this is the front lines. This is the center of the world.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
Amazing.
And if you don't, sometimes I have to really sit because I get so busy. And I think to myself, I look at a map and I think, my goodness, I'm 6,000 miles from home. There ain't no walking, brother. And there ain't no swimming.
And, no.
And you're even farther.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So when was the last time your parents were here?
Well, actually, my parents came when I finished my training for my unit. And it was as a surprise. They came through a friend of mine you've probably heard of Tziki Oud, who's a guy who helps a lot of lone soldiers.
Actually, I'm not familiar with him, but you need to hook me up with him.
He created that
the Michael Levin Lone Soldiers.
Michael Levin Soldier Center. And they organized it. And actually, she surprised me when I finished the training. And, you know, I was getting my pin for my unit.
Wow.
And she came there, and it was a good surprise.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That was the last time she was here. My mother and my family.
Yeah. Nice. And the last time you were home?
That would have been a year ago.
Okay.
A year ago, yeah.
Nice. Okay, so you're done with the Army.
That's right.
What's on your mind after that? Like, okay, what do I do now? I've had all this experience and training.
Right. Surprisingly enough, I said to myself that, the first thing that came to mind is, how can I contribute now? What can I do? And so I started my own non-profit organization.
Okay.
It's an organization dedicated to training future lone soldiers to join combat units in the IDF and to become the best soldiers in those units and motivate and lead by example and by values other soldiers, Israeli, foreign, and everyone, and just to, you know, be able to give back to society.
Nice.
In Israel.
Now, let me ask you, what is the age limit for joining the IDF? Because I get emails sometimes from guys in the United States.
Well, you know, we must understand that the IDF is not a regular army. This army is made of children, basically.
Right.
And,
become adults overnight.
You have to start as a child, and then you can continue. And obviously, you know, there's professional soldiers who are older, you know, obviously make a career of it. But the starting point is a very young age. And as such, the law of the IDF to join as a combat soldier is something close to the 30 years old. That's the oldest you can be.
Men and women?
Well, I'm talking about combat positions.
Combat positions.
Right, but yeah, men and women pretty much. Anywhere after 26 years old, 25, it's already problematic for them.
Absolutely,
already,
yeah.
The IDF tries to, you know, tries to avoid that. And it's also culturally very hard for a person who's older than that age to draft. Again, because of the same reason, you know, you go somewhere, your officer, your commanding officer is probably a 19-year-old teenager, and he's telling you what to do, and he doesn't understand you as well as you know it could be.
Right.
But surprisingly enough, lots of people manage and they do it. And
wow.
There's remarkable stories.
We got a lot of background noise here. That's good though. Folks love it. Love it. This is. You would never, you know, it's funny, my niece, I'm going to sidetrack you just a second. When I first came here, my niece was Skyping with me, and she said, Uncle Michael, are there camels in Israel? I said, yes, Lenny, there's camels. She goes, have you seen any? I said, no, I haven't seen any yet. She said, when you see a camel, will you give me a picture? So I was up on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem.
All right.
And there's an Arab up there that gives camel and donkey rides. So I got on top of this camel. My buddy that lives in Cyprus now was here. And they put the Arab headdress on me. And I was like, Allah, you know. And let me ride this camel. It was, and she printed up that picture and took it to school. And that's the perception many times.
Yeah, that people have of Israel.
There's two perceptions. One, camels and all that other stuff, which that exists here.
Right.
That's part of the exotic beauty.
Right.
Another part of that exotic beauty is the Mediterranean. You know, when I take pictures, and I'm going to make my point, but when I take pictures, folks say, oh, this looks like this in the United States or this in the United States. I'm like, it doesn't even compare. This is the Middle East. This is Israel. And so a lot of times when folks hear the word Mediterranean in the States, the first thought is exotic. And it is. When you go to Caesarea,
yeah.
Wow. And you see those Roman ruins. So, and the other thing is, everybody gets, the other picture folks get is of the Haredim, the black and white.
Right, yeah.
And Hollywood portrays that a lot. What they don't show is the beauty of like Tel Aviv and the cities all up and down the coast.
True.
And that Tel Aviv, this country, like I said, is number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine. You would never know it unless someone actually, it's one thing to tell you,
yeah.
It's another thing to come here and see it.
Absolutely.
And just some recent stats that came out, your unemployment rate, I know it's tough here, but your unemployment rate is actually only at 5.4%.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, the real numbers are 20% unemployment rate.
Right, yeah.
So you guys are doing great here, and it's all because you have a strong military to protect it.
Well, that helps, of course.
And along with that, your young people, mm-hmm. they get this training, this discipline early, and that's what that's where you come in.
Right.
They get this training and discipline early.
Yeah.
And then after the military, when they go to university, and especially, it's not like in the States. There's so much drugs. I can't even tell you, Bernardo. It's sad.
That's right. I mean, you know, one of the things that people have noticed is that if you compare young people from two countries at that age, at the age of going to college, usually an Israeli young teenager is going to the army, and American, European, they're going to college, they're going to study, university, their degree. So that is actually the time where, you know, a mindset in the army becomes more mature, the mindset in college actually goes back, according to some people.
Right.
In a way, you become more childish in certain things, right?
Right.
Sure, you learn how to live by yourself and wash your own plates, but that's about it.
Right.
And then, eventually, they intersect. You know, people here go to college. I went to university here when I was 24 years old only.
Wow.
And so, you know, in the U.S., in Europe, I would have been already a bit out of place, let's say.
Yeah, and they're all already starting their careers.
Right, yeah.
There.
But in Sevet Lochamim, in my organization, Sevet Lochamim, mainly the people who come from all over the world to train, I specialize in those who come, you know, with a Zionistic vision to come and serve. We get people sometimes who are older and they've left everything. They've left everything, works with, you know, a work, a job with a lot of money to come and serve because they think that's the right thing. Just like you said, because they believe they're home.
Wow.
So there's many very, very interesting stories in that sense.
Now, this organization you developed that trains people to be soldiers in the future, how did this all come about?
Well, actually, it came about because I, by chance, I said to myself, how can I contribute? What can I do to volunteer? And then I thought to myself, well, I like training people. I like doing things that train me to be a warrior, to be in the army. And suddenly I said, well, I should do that. And then I said to myself, you know what? That's a great idea because I was missing that when I came. I didn't know anything about the IDF. I didn't know which units they have. What can I do? What's it going to be like? Like I told you at the beginning, my vision was very obscure of military service. And, you know, I was surprised. It's funny because my first night in the army, I'll always remember it. I went to this base where everybody gets to, and it came time. We had like an hour. Everybody had to like take a shower, you know, and get ready and before you go to sleep. And I was like in a line, like waiting. It was cold. It was the winter to go and take a shower.
Oh, wow. Where were you? What, up in the north?
Yeah, in the north.
Wow.
And there was no hot water. Like, there's cold water. And so I was telling myself, you know what, I was right. This army is going to be so hard. Imagine how many years I'm going to do here, and there's no cold water, there's no hot water, I'm like freezing. And it turned out it was a one-time mistake, and you know, it's like more common to find like hot water than cold water. But it was like, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy in a way.
Wow, wow. Hey, listen, I've stayed on a few bases before, and my first experience here in Israel was I did volunteer work with the Army through Sar'el.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. I did that too.
Yeah, and I actually have done a lot of, I've interviewed Pamela Lazarus.
Right.
I don't know. If,
well, she manages that program.
Yeah, she manages the program. Mm-hmm. What a woman. I'll tell you, she's a trooper.
Right.
She's hardcore.
True.
And I did this video, which I'll send you the video, but it was funny because she said, okay, there's those of you that need to realize this is, I got an email from a guy that said, oh, it was tough and blah, blah, and blah, blah. And she said, so, you need to realize this: you're not staying at a hotel. You don't have everything that you want. You don't get everything that you want. You know, so if you have a bad experience, next time you come to Israel and think about Sar'el, don't. So, listen, America, I'm going to tell you, if you want an experience, do volunteer with the IDF. They could use your help. They save millions of shekels every year.
Yeah, they do.
And now, did you actually run into anyone that was in Sar'el?
When afterwards? In the army? No, I didn't. But I did hear that some of the people there eventually joined the army.
Yeah.
It was a good experience, I think, because you really get to know, like, you know, you get to see things, and for any ages, it's really a great thing.
Yeah. So, okay, so now you want to give back. Did you have a net, like, how did you lay the foundation? Okay, I want to train folks to help them.
Okay. Well, that's, first of all, I come from a, you know, a bit of a martial arts background in a way. I've trained the Thai boxing and the Krav Maga.
Wow.
And so...
yeah, Jay said something about you being really good.
Well, I do, you know. I've trained a lot of people and I've practiced it for quite a few years and I like it. You know, I find it also very important to be able to defend yourself and to feel that confidence. But... with that experience as a trainer, I said, well, you know, I want to pass on mainly what I call combat aptitudes in a way, you know, feeling that you're a warrior, that no matter what and how hard it is, you can get over it.
Right.
And pass it, because I found that that was the main point in my service, like that would help me get through things. I did things I didn't think I could do. And, you know, if I'd been scared or if I hadn't pushed over my limits, I wouldn't have done them.
And so, a lot of it's mental.
Yeah, everything is mental in a way. I mean, I would say that probably 80% is mental and only 20% is the rest. But mental, including, obviously, you know, your spirit as well, your heart combined, like your motivation. So what I did was basically announced it on the internet. I said, I'm training today, and nobody came. Next week, I'm training today, nobody came. And eventually, but every time after a training session, I would send a message and say, well, you know, training today was great. I said, training was great.
Now, were you offering this for free? Or?
Yeah, for free.
Wow.
And eventually, after a few weeks, I got a call from an Australian kid that was in a kibbutz where I had been in the north. And he told me, listen, we're like 20 people here. We heard about you. Come train us.
Wow.
And then I went over there, and that's how it started. And now now it's an official organization. I have approximately 20 volunteers. And we train, you know, between 50 to 70, 80 future lone soldiers every year.
Wow.
Who get into the best units of the IDF. And so, you know. And even if they don't, I mean, everybody is, they're the best soldiers in their units.
Wow. And you've
been proud of them. Yeah.
Now, you've been at that. Yeah. You've been at this for how long? How many years?
5 years.
5 years. Yeah. So how did you, what's the name mean? Say the name slowly. And we're going to post all your information with this, with the radio show. Yeah,
thanks a lot. The name is Tsevet Lochamim, which translates directly to Team of Warriors.
Wow. Nice.
In Hebrew. And yeah, we have a website, tsevetlochamim.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're almost everywhere you can think of. And we train here in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. We offer training on a weekly basis. We have also irregular seminars and simulations of special forces tryouts and training simulations. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. We also offer Krav Maga here in Tel Aviv.
Nice.
By the way, if you want to participate, you're invited as well.
I appreciate it. I definitely will, because I was actually, there's a friend of mine that has a security company called Expert Security.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this company.
And is Roy Paled.
Yeah.
And Roy was in Duke Divine.
Yeah.
What an amazing guy. He's been a good friend to me. I don't get to see my friends as much as I'd like to, because I work all the time. But Roy's actually, he trains young people. And here's the thing. In accordance with what you were saying, when I talk to the young people that are born and raised here,
yeah,
they generally, not always, but generally have a pretty good idea where they want to go.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and that's why I really respect what you're doing, because I'm sure that a lot of these young people coming in as lone soldiers, who the military... There's an airplane. Wow, this is a busy area. The military, these young people in the military really respect these lone soldiers that come here with no obligation. Folks, you've seen me post about lone soldiers before. I have a lone soldier bracelet on. They come here with no immediate family. A lot of times, no real support.
Yep.
And they have no obligation to serve. And they come here with the understanding that I need to defend my people.
That's right. Yeah.
And they're a very special group, so I really appreciate what you're doing. Now, my next question is, if I went to your website, do you have like a list of people that give testimonials like, I reached this goal and I've gotten these awards, and I attribute that to...
Well, we post that mainly on our Facebook page, okay, testimonials like that.
Okay.
And we've created some videos in the past about that. But yeah, I mean, there isn't anybody who's gone through a program and hasn't recommended it to others or spoken about it. We have friends all over the world in one way or another. I would say that when you go to our website, the website's mainly to really connect people to either sign up or donate directly.
Okay. Because you're a non-profit.
We're a non-profit organization. There's currently no salaries on our organization. Everything's done, you know, from the heart.
Well, we're going to post that information. So, folks, after they listen to the show, you may have some lone soldiers, families out there that are listening.
Right.
And don't realize that you exist. Maybe these soldiers didn't even know you existed.
Yeah.
And we need those families to jump on board, because you're taking great pangs to prepare their children who want to sign up with what you do. And that's more than honorable. So let me ask you, what would you say the percentage of people that come through your organization? You know, there's some young people that come here, they serve their time, and then they leave.
Right.
Do you have maybe an estimate of the number of people that are retained here in Israel after they finish the army? Or that go maybe even beyond their 3 years?
Right. Well, so far, I would say that approximately 70 to 80% stay in Israel after. And, you know, the obvious continuation is either to study and then try to get a job in whatever you studied.
Right.
Or they want to continue in the military and security industry, and lots of them do that. We've had some folks who go back abroad to their countries. Obviously, that, you know, that's always going to happen.
Right.
But what I've noticed is that mainly they already, from the initiation in our program, they create friendships and connections.
There you go.
You know, they live together, they go and move into an apartment together many times, they stay living together, they go to university afterwards together, and they just become best friends in a way, and they support each other through and after the service. And then they come back and volunteer in my organization, which is the...
Wow.
To me, that's the most beautiful thing, when I see that a guy... And some of them come already during their army service. Like, they get out on a Friday, instead of going home to sleep, they come on Friday morning to the training session to see the new guys, to say hi, to tell their story.
Wow.
To make them run and crawl a little bit. And then they go home for Shabbat.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a... I think that really... You know, sincerely, I think that's very beautiful, because it lets me know that whatever we created has become a something more than just us, you know?
Yeah. That's good stuff, brother. That's good. So you had a training this morning?
There was a training this morning, yeah.
Now, how many people come? And I'm sure it probably varies.
Well, yeah, it does vary. Right now, it's, for instance, a low season. Mainly people come in the summer, but our groups vary between 12 people in every training session up to like 20, 25, depending on the good time.
And you're crawling around, because when I was with Roy Pelet, wow, these kids.
Yeah.
My goodness, and now I was 43 the last time I was with Roy and those guys. And I'll tell you, there was Roy standing up on this hill with a megaphone. He's like, you know, why are you crawling around in the sand with a bunch of 18-year-olds? Just to push me, you know what I mean? Push my button, and I wasn't going to give up. And I'll tell you, and I'm sure that you see this many times,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I was wearing a vest, a weighted vest.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And we were running. It was hot that day. This was in June, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, man, what I was doing okay in the beginning. Little by little, I was lagging back, but I wasn't behind, okay? I was still with the pack. They were a little spread out. I had this 18-year-old come from the front to the back.
Yeah.
And he grabbed a hold of me. He said, Michael, listen to what he said. Michael, you must keep up. We must do this for our country.
Man, that's very nice.
Wow. Wow. I can't wrap my mind around, Bernardo. Two things. What it must be like to be Jewish and look back through my history and see my people persecuted for nothing. For nothing. And then to know, even in this modern day that we live, and you see the growth of anti-Semitism and what these young people must be thinking at such a young age. The stuff that is said about your army is
right.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. All media gimmicks, you know.
And listen, I want to say this to the American Jews. You need to tighten up. You need to sell all. You need to empty your bank accounts. Sell your house. Bring your greatness, your money, your business. Bring it here to Israel. I know a guy right now, very successful businessman. His family lives up in Judea and Samaria, otherwise known as the West Bank, Allahu Akbar.
Right.
And that belongs to the Jews, brother. That was the first Bible Belt right there. And this man runs a very successful business. You know what he does?
What does he do?
He flies back and forth between Israel and California. His family settled. This is the best place. Your children are safer here than they are even in the United States. I say that without reservation. Let your children, American Jews, serve honorably next to these young people that defend this country. That's an honor and a privilege.
That's right.
A gift.
A gift.
A gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what I was thinking about? That I wish you'd been around last week, because we did an event that was 28 hours long.
Wow, wow.
Made to test every bit of you know, your commitment and soul and everything. And you know, those kids, we had 15 people who started, and 10 of them finished. And it was a wild ride. And you know, next time I'm going to invite you to come and see it.
No, I want in, brother.
At least you'll start participating. You tell me if you want to stop. You'll tell me.
No, I'll finish it. Even if I'm the last guy. Because look, I'm 44. And I kind of got out of shape in the winter time. My job, I stay so busy. People can't even comprehend, because I have to do everything myself. Otherwise, it doesn't get done. And you have volunteers. I've had folks volunteer.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, and I'm not, I get it. But when folks want to volunteer, I'm like, okay, I need this done and this, Excel spreadsheets and
right.
Emails and this. But I want to travel with you and take chocolate bars to the soldiers. I'm like, come on, we'll do that. That's part of it. But we got to do the tough stuff first.
Yeah, do the about it.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I've learned, and I'm sure that as you well know,
right.
As someone who works for themselves, if you're going to do it and get it done right, you got to do it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I respect you. Bernardo, I respect
likewise.
What you're doing for your people, brother. And that you have enough concern, enough care, enough compassion, and enough commitment to want to see these young people.
Thank you very much.
Now, what's the age range, would you say?
It varies, but between 19 to 26 years old, I would say. Mainly, they're like 23, 22, 24.
Yeah, but it's, you know, when you're talking about the I don't know, I can't remember what it was like to be 18, and I can't, because remember, I was picking my nose, and I can't remember what it was like to be 23, because I was still picking my nose, you know, but, you know, there is a bit of a difference in your body,
right?
You know, yeah. And its ability, and even at 44, because trust me, when I'm not in shape, and then I start to get back in shape, it's killing me,
right? Yeah.
I'm waking up for some serious, I'm feeling like I'm 50. And not even close. Even my face doesn't show I'm 44.
It doesn't even.
But listen, Bernardo, I want to say thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
And we're going to have you back on. We're going to do some video next time.
Great.
And listen, this is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian-founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
Amen.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving three right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio.